I grew up in a tradition which, without explicitly stating it, thought of itself as a kind of a branch of quote-unquote muscular Christianity, a kind of pumped-up culture war-based expression of Christian faith, which embodied many of the traits, though in a much diluted form, that I see running through the Christian nationalism, which is dominating politics in the USA and is also alive and well in the Canadian context, as well as in many Western democracies, and even in the new breakaway global Anglican network. This kind of Christianity claims to be biblical, whilst using out of context or badly interpreted scriptural texts to justify oppressing and condemning others. For this kind of strong-arm belief, the Joshua passage for today is a kind of rallying cry to rise up and conquer the land, subjecting all to a particular kind of dominating Jesus, who wants all to conform to a particular way of believing, a particular way of thinking, a particular way of acting. Be strong and courageous, says this particular brand of pseudo-Christianity, because there are culture wars to be done, people to be persecuted in Jesus' name, and souls to be won like some kind of contest for pelts between voyageurs. Likewise, the admonition by the author of the letter to the Ephesians that we heard today, it may or may not be Paul, opinion is pretty much divided 50-50 among scholars, the admonition to be strong in the Lord and in the strength of God's power, followed by the detailed description of what is called the armor of God, is also often taken again to be a pseudo-militaristic approach to being Christian. It's such a mindset that can reel off Bible verses whilst oppressing minorities and gleefully go to war in the hope of ushering in the end of the world and the return of Jesus as some kind of avenging hero who will rampage over the earth, stamping out pronouns and fighting against diversity. It is such a mindset that takes these scriptures and uses them to fuel their own toxic brand of Christo-fascist nationalism. But this narrative hits a roadblock pretty quickly when these scriptures are put into context or even just read properly. Take Joshua's "Be strong and courageous." It's a part of Israel's long origin story, rooted in the Exodus and the finding of the Promised Land. But as I've preached on before, there is little to no evidence that this is anything other than a story. There is no evidence that a wandering group of tribes ever fled Egypt and settled in Canaan, taking over the land and demolishing cities such as Jericho. What is more commonly thought amongst scholars and archaeologists is that a group of disaffected coast dwellers in the region we now call Israel-Palestine moved into the mountains and were influenced by a group of Yahwists who came from possibly Egypt, and that these stories that we hear now sprung up as a new mythology which emerged from this hybrid group. In that scheme of things, this story of Joshua is simply trying to sell and continue that particular mythology, creating a continuity from the myths of Moses or Moshe as Joshua becomes the new leader of the tribes. In Ephesians, it doesn't take long to realize that the armor of God is not about conquest, but about a sense of empowerment at a time when life was pretty frightening under the empire, and as early Jesus movement groups were also under attack from the synagogues who were increasingly rejecting their ideas. Admittedly, some of those ideas were pretty outrageous at the time. The belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, shoes which make it possible to proclaim the gospel of peace, the shield of faith, the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit are not about domination, but about safety and protection. Our scriptures repeatedly side with the poor, the outsider, the marginalized, and the vulnerable. They express the deep heartbreak of the brokenness of the world. Militarized faith is easy. It doesn't empathize, It refuses to be vulnerable. It wouldn't have the honesty of the psalmist who we heard tonight talks of being in the mud and clay and of being deep down in the terrible pit where the only hope is to rely on God. Muscular faith doesn't get involved beyond its own self-interest. It turns up at church, says the words, sings the hymns, and goes home in exactly the same state as it arrived. In the faith we see from our Hebrew forebears, in the life of Jesus, the apostles, and in Christians through the ages, we have an earthy, involved, and passionate, and compassionate faith. It's a faith that is honest, that wrestles with the difficulties of this world, and seeks to be involved in changing the world, not by domination, but by love, changing the world for the better. Not converting, but offering faith, hope, and love. Someone wrote earlier this week in an article I read, I think it was Dr. Stacy Patton, who I read on Substack, said, how different would the world be if Christians just stopped killing people? In a world becoming more dangerous by the day, this toxic, weaponized Christianity can only be combated by those of us who seek to live by and embody the genuine love of Christ in all we do and all we are. May we have true strength, not the false sense of being powerful that the well-armed and well-prejudiced have, but the true strength to be people who are honest, compassionate, and gracious. Amen.